For the past few decades, many sincere, well-meaning Christians have walked away from the traditional church in search of something better. If you ask them, they're looking for something more authentic, more intimate, more interactive, and hopefully more biblical than what they are currently getting in some traditional churches. This is why a more simple form of church, house church for example, is becoming the venue of choice for many Christians. Unfortunately, a large population of simple church people are the disgruntled. They are just coming out of a bad experience with the traditional church. Maybe they had a disagreement over church polity, or doctrine, or format. Perhaps there was some kind of abuse of power, or an unresolved interpersonal conflict. These disgruntled Christians seek out simple churches for negative reasons. Hopefully they find healing and are able to move on from those bad experiences, but reactions to negative experiences in church are not enough to sustain a healthy, simple church. A good, simple church will survive and even thrive because of their positive attributes. In today's podcast, we want to focus on the many positive reasons to participate in a simple form of church. We want our listeners to be attracted to simple church because it is a good thing. Keep listening, and we will tell you why we consider simple church to be a great way to grow in Christ together. Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Welcome to the Keep It Simple podcast. This is Gavin Durson today here along with my usual partner in crime,
Tom LeCompte. And the idea for today's podcast comes from just a little bit of history. We've spent the last year or so trying to talk about practical matters with house church as far as if you were interested in starting a house church, how would you get started? How would you do this? How would you do that? How would you do this? But it's been a long time since we've talked about the why. So today, Gavin and I are going to come up with our top five positive reasons that we enjoy simple church. And we're not going to go negative. These are positive reasons that we have chosen to do house church as opposed to more traditional forms of worship, brick and mortar church, traditional church, whatever.
So yeah, let's do it. And Tom, I'm going to give you the first word.
You gonna give me the first word?
Yes.
Yeah, so okay. We would do this in descending order.
Five up to one.
Our first one. So my fifth reason is doing church the way we do it. Simply, organically, whatever you want to describe. But doing it that way encourages a lifestyle of obedience of Christ. And it's not a list. It's not an event. It's not an activity. It's not some place we go to. But it encourages Christianity to be your lifestyle. You're living it 24/7. You Yeah. are the church. You don't go to church. You are the church. So some of the ways it does it, it encourages you to participate in your own discipleship and then in discipleship of others. So it's a lifestyle.
Got it. Like it. All right. We going to go back and forth on this or you just want to roll through?
What's your number five?
All right. So number five for me, I had, and this, you know, I don't know, for me, for the longest time, this has been sort of I think it stemmed back when I worked with FCA. I felt like, especially towards the end, I felt like my main ministry was to coaches when I was working in Fellowship of Christian Athletes. If you're not familiar with FCA, I did that for 11 years. And I felt like that my main focus a lot of times was with coaches and helping them to really see their job as a coach as a ministry and to view themselves as a minister. We had a coach in town one time said, you know, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ cleverly disguised as a football coach. You know, he was one of the guys that got it, but I really felt like that all the coaches I worked with, that was my hope and prayers that they could get to that place where they really and truly viewed themselves as a minister. And I kept feeling like no matter that was such a hard message to get across, in part due to the way that we as a church have defined ministry and clergy and laity. And for me, one of the reasons I believe so strongly in simple church is it's the only way that I know to help to be truly be the church, and at the same time to reinforce this idea of the priesthood of all believers, which every Christian church believes. But I think because of our way of doing things, we are inadvertently have created a culture of Christians that really don't believe that. Like, they really believe there are ministers and then everyone else, and there are people in that do the ministry, and then there's all of us who are lay members who we might do some things here and there, but we're not really in the ministry. And that to me has just been such a huge burden, like a pet peeve or just a call on my, I think, to really help every person, whether you're a truck driver or a doctor or a garbage man or a school teacher or working for a ministry, to really believe we're all ministers. Like, it's not that there's no clergy, it's that there's no laity. If mm-hmm. you're in Christ, you're a clergy, you're a minister. And to me, simple church is really the only way in my mind I really see that you can have church that really does not just say they believe the priesthood of all believers, but really, I think, behaves in a way that reinforces that idea. And that's number five for me.
Okay, that's good. My number four piggybacks on that one. You said that, you know, the priesthood of all believers, there's no distinction between the clergy and the laity. So my number four is for doing simple church is it. A simple church doesn't really need anything except God to make it work. We don't need professional pastors. We don't need professional staff. We don't need programs. We don't need a building. We don't need infrastructure. We don't even need a seminary degree. Those things are all nice. I'm not against those, but they're not necessary to make the church of what God makes, what God wants it to be. Because God is in charge. It's His church. And so if you have, you know, like-minded people who meet together, like you said, that can make it work. You are a church. You're an ecclesia. You're called out people. So that's why I like it.
Yeah, so, well, I think there's going to be a theme of piggybacking. My number four piggybacks on that. So, and I guess you could almost say because of what you just stated, there really is, and this is my fourth, the potential for true multiplication to happen. And that word's such a buzzword, and everybody talks about there's multiplication conferences. A lot of it is addition disguised as multiplication. It's addition at best. Sometimes it's division, and that's being discussed. But I think that there is a true potential because of what you stated, that all is needed is God. Like, the potential exist for your church life to truly be multiplied in a way that will last well beyond your lifetime. Mm-hmm. And we see that in Jesus coming to change the world, but focusing primarily on 12 and living his life, walking with the disciples and investing in them, and then him leaving and then them going on to a movement of multiplication really being ignited. And I think that when in simple church, that potential is still there. It doesn't mean it always happens. We see it happen in parts of the world. We're seeing it in some places in North America, something like that starting to happen. Will it happen fully in North America like we've read about in the Bible and see? And, you know, I hope so, and I'm believing in faith that it will. But the potential is there, and that I think is important because if I'm investing all my time and energies into structures and things that I just want to invest my time and energies into things that have that potential, and that to me is something a conviction of mine that I've come to believe in. So
good.
That's number four.
Good. My number three are the one anothers. You know, God helps us and loves us, and we are to love and help one another. It's in this consumeristic society that, you know, we visit a church and go to a church because of what it can do for us or what the pastor can do for us. It's refreshing that, you know, God wants us to serve one another and to love one another, to encourage one another, and the whole list, admonish one another. That is how we become better people through the scriptures. You know, we're never alone. We're not lone rangers, but we are in a community of others. So my number three, the one another's.
All right. Well, number three for me, this is, I think, again, to kind of go back a little bit, I feel like when I started Simple Church, like part of the reasoning had to do with working with FCA, going into these schools and seeing God do awesome things, you know, with a group of students and maybe a few teachers and a coach, but being like, you know, meeting with these kids in a locker room at 7 a.m. on a Thursday morning and just walking into that and observing what God was doing and seeing ownership of the ministry and God doing things in really like pure and innocent and neat ways, just kids just really viewing their school as their mission field and really having that sense of like, you know what, if it's not us that reaches our school, no one's going to do it, you know. And so a big part for me was always thinking, man, like, what would it look like for my family to be involved in essentially an FCA huddle? And why isn't church that way? How could church be that way? And for me, a big reason for Simple Church is family. It's the opportunity to affirm that, you know what, like, our family is in ministry together, and that's very real and tangible every Sunday when we're all in our home sitting around our coffee table with friends and family or in someone else's, and we're all in there as a family. And all that comes along with that, that my kids and my wife and I are, we're essentially looking at our circle of friends and our neighborhood as that school that, and we kind of have that very real awareness like, hey, we're here and doing this to reach these folks, to be Christ's hands and feet, and we're going to do this as a family, and we're in this together. And the folks that we're hanging out with in our neighborhood, those are the people that God sent us to love and to reach, and to be able to model that for my kids, but also, you know, to see my kids involved. And we've talked on this podcast before. I mean, there's a lot of times young folks may not have the opportunity, if they have something to share that God did in their life, or want to lead a song or do a dance to a song that they love, it's about God. Like, they're not getting those opportunities, but my kids get that opportunity, just like those kids in the school system got the opportunity to really be a part of the ministry. You know, I love Simple Church because it reinforces that idea, even with my own children, that, you know what, like, all of us here together that are Christians have to something to contribute, you know, and you get to do that every Sunday. You're not coming to spectate, but you're coming to give and to bring something yourself. And if it's just because you're 10 years old or 13 or 8, it doesn't matter. Like, you still have the Holy Spirit, and so come expecting to give. What is it that the Lord wants you to bring to the table this week? And I love being able to give them that opportunity and let them see from infancy on through till they leave our home that church is a place where they come and they have something to give and they have that opportunity.
Cool. Very good. My number two reason for experiencing a Simple Church, house church, organic church, and the reason for loving it is it's very, very biblical. This isn't something that's on the fringe or anything like that. It's very biblical. We have a very strong biblical pattern from reading the Gospels and reading the Book of Acts and reading Paul's letters of how the church started, you know, as a group of Jewish people worshiping in the temple to expanding and exploding, you know, all across the known world within a few decades and turning the world upside down and really establishing, you know, a new, not only a religion, but a whole new kingdom, the kingdom of God, how they expanded that and established that. So, you know, the things that we're doing in Simple Church, I hope, are just merely imitating what the apostles did as they moved out, as they moved away from an Old Testament form of, you know, gathering people into the temple and attracting people from around the world to one location, to going to every location, to just exploding all across the known world. So it's very biblical. The things that we do are biblical. The things we do in our worship services are biblical. You know, we gather together. We all participate. We all have something to offer. We all have, we all listen. We all have something to say. We all have a hymn or something to contribute. So, and we're all participating. You know, it's not just a few people, but we're all participating. So, yeah. My number two reason is very biblical.
All right. Well, for number two for me, it's kind of, you kind of hinted at this, but for me, I think a big shift in my life has been this idea of the Great Commission and the mission of God being why we're here and being a part of that Great Commission, that wasn't just for a select few people, but that all of us are called to go and make disciples of all the nations. And really looking at how am I supposed to do that? What does that look like? I think for me, it's, you know, it always comes back to relationships. It's always about, it's disciple making is about relationships. And mm-hmm. you know, to me, Simple Church allows the sole focus, I mean, to be on the relationships. That's all that it's about at the center of it. It's the relation, it's relational. And you know, the form doesn't actually make it harder to have relationships. I mean, the form, it's either relational or it's not going to happen. You know, right. You're either in my kitchen or you know, if that's not appealing, you're not going to be there. So maybe that's, you know, it's not the best at introducing people and letting, you know, ease it or whatever. But to me, if I'm going to be a part of the Great Commission and my wife and I are going to be a part of the Great Commission, it's going to have to be, the focal point is going to have to be relationships, and that's going to be the way in which we make disciples is through relationships. And everything about Simple Church is focused on relationships. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's not other things to get us distracted on that. We can just focus on the people that the Lord has put in our lives and getting to know them and speaking into their life and then in turn them doing so for us, you know. I just see that as the Jesus walking with the 12 and living with them for 3 years. It allows more of a focus on that. And that can happen in other types of churches as well. But it rids some of the distractions, which actually I think can sap a lot of our energy and time that actually don't necessarily contribute towards the intimacy of relationships with folks that are in our church family and in our life, so, or potentially lost folks that are God's wanting to bring into His church family. So that's the whole focus, and that's my number two.
Well, your number two is related to my number one. You mentioned the Great Commission, and my number one reason for liking Simple Church and choosing to participate in that form of ecclesia is its missional aspect. It is the most missional thing I can think of. It's what missionaries are using nowadays abroad to plant churches. I've seen it work. I've experienced it in Kenya, and I really think that we are in a cross-cultural setting now in North America. We're not a Christian culture anymore, so We have to be thinking like missionaries. So the Simple Church model is, it's lean, it's mean, it's portable. It can work in just about any culture. It's easy to reproduce. You don't need anything like we mentioned before. You don't need a lot of technology. You don't need any money. You just need, it's like you said, Gavin, it's relational. So all you need is other people. It is how I see the church expanding. It's how I see multiplication happening. And so I really am in this for the missional aspect of it. So that was my number one reason.
All right, number one. So that brings it to me. Maybe there'll be like a drum roll sound. Maybe you should have had that too. Number one for me, I don't know if this is cheating or not, but this is the way I would put it. It's the only thing that makes sense. And so what I maybe this is cheating because it's sort of a hodgepodge of all the other reasons besides the four that I mentioned. But, you know, there's just something about this. When I look at the Bible, you mentioned the Bible. When I look at the Bible and I ask myself, okay, if I'm going to be involved in the Great Commission and I'm going to have something like a church family, how should that look? What should that look like? Then, boom, I see Simple Church. I see it there. If I were to, when I meet with unbelievers and I talk to them and I tell them about what we're doing and why we do Simple Church, people that are outside of the body of Christ, they're like, huh, that makes sense. Like, it makes sense to them, you know? Yeah. When I think about just the practicality of things, like, hey, all the Christians in America, like, let's take all of our money and let's use it for the kingdom. Like, I would, you know, Simple Church makes sense. Like, the best way to would be the best way to do that. Well, let's not spend the money on ourselves and a place to sit and be air conditioned and have a facility, you know. Now, I say that obviously with the asterisk because, I mean, there's a lot of great facilities out there that I've taken benefit of, and gyms, and I got married in a church, and those things are nice. But starting where we are today and looking to the future, and I say, hey, what makes the most sense financially? It makes the most sense to me. And, you know, when I think about the future of our country and just the potential for persecution to break out or interference with church and state, I think, you know what? Like, if we could, this makes the most sense. And when I think about how to engage the most people possible in the Great Commission, you know, and I think about the problem that we have with, like, leadership and opportunities for leadership within the church, like, the hope is that, you know, you want everyone to be growing, you know, into being a leader in some respects, maybe in different giftings and using their gifts and talents in different ways and contributing, this makes the most sense, you know. So that's the way I put it. I don't know, you know, it's the only thing in my mind as I sit here today and I think about, like, man, like, it makes sense.
It does make sense. So,
it's funny because, like, I have the conversations with people and I always kind of come back to that. And, you know, I have friends that want to say, well, it's really it's the biblical model. I'm like, well, yeah, it is. And I see it in the Bible. But I think rather than telling someone, like, this, you should really think about this because it's the biblical model. I think I always just have people, you know what? It's really just makes the most sense to me when I think about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and we think about what God went. I think I referred to this once before. You know, I remember when I started this, I came across this data about churches in America, and basically they were talking about church attendance, and they were looking at it through a traditional lens, but the survey was based on most recent census data, and they were talking about how the influx of population in our country from immigrants and whatnot, that in order to keep the same church attendance statistics that we have today in the year 2040, that we had to start 6,500 new churches of 200 people every year. And I thought to myself, man, that is a daunting task, but then that's even a poor metric because it's like church attendance. Well, you and I both know that doesn't really mean a whole lot, right? Like, people attend churches that don't even believe the Bible. When people attend church, that might mean, depending on how they ask the question, they go to a church once a month, you know. Yeah. So that doesn't really even say anything about making devoted, helping people grow to be devoted believers and followers of Christ, you know. So, like, when I think about that, and I think about the time, money, and energy, and effort, and it would take to start 6,500 new churches every year that seat 200 people, and the staff, and the money, and the resources that it would take just to keep up with a statistic that really is kind of sad in of itself. It's like, man, that doesn't even make sense to approach it the way we've been. Simple Church, you know, and I think about that big, like, macro problem and issue of seeing the masses come to Christ in our country and how that can be achieved and how God might want to do that. And in a way, Simple Church makes sense. So that's for me. And, well,
there you have it. You have Gavin and my top five reasons for participating in Simple Church. A couple of caveats just to end it. This is what we like. This is what we participate in. We're not saying it's the only way. We're not saying that all other ways are bad. But if you want to know why we do the things we do, why we're doing this podcast, we just told you, and we'd love to hear what you like about Simple Church and why you are doing it.
Yeah. So, yeah, and this might be a great podcast to share with folks that are new to the podcast, and we might, you know, you can encourage them. And just to reiterate things that we've said here before and remind everyone that, hey, I am a product of a very traditional-type church, and would not be sitting at this microphone were it not for the encouragement and support of a very traditional church. So, by no means are we here to try to say that we think we're better or got something figured out. My view is that God is doing and has been doing for some time. He has been putting the church into the hands of normal folks, and he's going to continue to do that. And my hope and prayer, even in the illustration I just shared, that there would be 6,500 new churches planted every year that seat 200 people. That would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. But my belief is that for the Great Commission to be fulfilled, it's going to take a lot more than brick and mortar. It's going to take an opening up of lanes of other types of churches and mm-hmm. other expressions of his body and his family. And we want to advocate that. And we believe there's a lot of folks out there that have that in their heart, and they've maybe felt guilty. I know I did, and others that, you know what, you say, man, I think about house church. I've heard about this. It makes sense to me. But man, like, how am I actually going to, I mean, I'm not really mad. I don't really want to, like, protest the traditional church. And, you know, you almost feel like, man, like, how could I possibly tell my church family that I'm part of here, I'm leaving to start a house church? That would seem to be a very arrogant thing for someone to do. And we just want to be here to say, no, that actually would be the most natural and normal thing to do. If God's using you to reach your neighbors, like, it would make total sense, and it wouldn't be arrogant, and it would be logical and make sense if you did say, why, instead of trying to get them plugged in, I might just help these folks experience a different kind of church. And we want to be here to encourage that and let folks that have that in their heart know that you're not alone, and that we'd love to help you down that road and just encourage you.
Very nice. Good.
All right. Well, one of the things we do here on this podcast at the end is we like to kind of share some things that we like, kind of related or unrelated. I got one for you here today, and I like golf. That's something I really like. And in particular, something some folks may not know about me is that my brother is actually a caddy on the PGA Tour. And one thing I really like is the story going on with the gentleman he caddies for. And some of you, if you follow golf, you may have remembered a year ago there was a golf tournament which Billy Hurley III won. He won the Quicken Loans tournament in at the Congressional last year. And there's a really interesting article that he's written that, honestly, I read, and it was like the most, like, emotional thing I've read maybe in a long time, maybe ever. But Billy's story is an amazing one. He was in the military, in the Navy, went to the Naval Academy, got really good in college, and then when he graduated – wasn't able to turn pro because he had to fulfill his commitment to the Navy, and he did that. He became a recreational golfer for 5 years and lived on a Navy ship, did a couple of tours in the Middle East, came back, joined the web.com tour, and met my brother, and they've been caddying for a while. But a couple of years ago, his dad committed suicide, and they were real active in the church and whatnot, and it was about a year to the date that he won the tournament last year, and it was a very public kind of a story, and he was 650th in the world, and wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament, and Tiger Woods gave him an exemption because it was a military sponsored, like the charities all went to the military. He got in, ended up winning the tournament, and he's written an article on this website called the Players Tribune that I just thought it's just an amazing article. And again, this is Billy Hurley III, and he wrote an article called To My Dad. And if you just Google Billy Hurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y, Billy Hurley letter, it'll come up as a top hit. It's been really passed around, and the Golf Channel is getting ready to do a documentary, kind of a 30 for 30, kind of a ESPN-type deal on this, on his story. But this letter is all about him writing a letter to his dad and basically saying that he forgives him. And it's a very powerful, powerful letter. And if you're into golf, you might follow Billy Hurley III. And he's, I think, 90th on the FedEx Cup points right now. He's not a superstar by any means, but my brother's on the bag for him. And I got to go down and watch them last week at the golf tournament at the Players Championship in Florida. Just had a wonderful time. Really grateful for actually a lot of great folks. There's some great guys out there. A guy named Peter Hiskey, who's a chaplain of sorts on the tour, and got to meet him and spend some time with him. But Billy Hurley III, just love golf and love the story and the thing that God's doing there.
Very cool. Well, I have to drive a lot. I commute 90 minutes to work. I don't do it every day, but I do it several times a week. And I drove here to Lexington to be with Gavin today so we could record. So I am driving a lot. So what I like about that is Kentucky is a very, very beautiful state. And I get to see the countryside. I get off the interstates because everywhere I go is way off the interstate. And if you get a chance to come and visit Kentucky, I would encourage you, get off the interstate and take some of these back roads. And if you're in the Lexington area, get off the interstate, get on these back roads and drive past some of these horse farms. They're just absolutely gorgeous. And this time of year, everything is green and everything's bloomed and the leaves are out. And it's just so much color, so much just absolute beauty. I really missed Kentucky when I was living in Kenya. Kenya was beautiful also, but when we would come home to Kentucky, it was just, we're home. This is beautiful. Beautiful state. I like driving.
Yep, and if you're in Lexington, Pisgah Pike and Old Frankfort Pike.
I'm going home today.
Those are two pretty well good roads there. But hey, thanks for joining us. This is Keep It Simple. Shoot us a note and you got any questions, comments? We'd love to hear from you. If you can, go on iTunes and give us a rating there. Give us a comment. That helps this podcast pop up when people do things like search church or Christianity podcast, whatever. It'll help get the word out a little bit if it's something that's helpful to you. And if it's not, then just forget us. We ever existed and delete us from your phone and go on about your life. It won't hurt our feelings in the least. So thank you guys for joining us. And we'll be back next time with Keep It Simple, some more great stuff.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.